good morning.
It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, yesterday, the New York Times published an anonymous editorial by a person claiming to be on the inside of the Trump administration, basically saying to the American people that they're equally upset about the way the president acts and conducts business and are working hard to keep things steady for the American people.
Okay, so David, this is a very interesting case study in journalism, obviously. What are the regular norms? All of us like people who sign letters to the editor, who put their names on op-ed pieces. We consider that to be the right way to do it because we want to hold people responsible. And otherwise, it underlines the credibility, David, of the newspaper. How does anybody know that they're making it up, or not making it up, that there is such a person, whether that person is at the top of the heap or the middle of the heap in terms of their responsibility? Well, obviously, it's made the White House nutty or more nutty. They're going to come out and they're going to try to inflame their base using this case study in whether or not journalistic ethics prevail here. But let's remember a couple of things. One, this is the New York Times. And the New York Times, of course, is the greatest paper in the country. And a lot of people think the greatest paper in the world. So there are times to use your credibility. And this is one time that they are doing it. Then there's the question of what is the threat versus what is the benefit. If, in fact, this president has turned out to be a madman, there's really no way of dealing with it other than using an anonymous source on the inside, which you would rather have than somebody on the outside taking shots in. It really does create a big problem for Trump and for his continued existence as the president. We do know from the new Bob Woodward book that he has been told about perjury traps and whether or not, if he testifies honestly, he risks wearing an orange jumpsuit. So you have a president of the United States who has been accused of felonies, who is accused of irrational behavior, who could lead this country into a wag-the-dog type of war, who has his finger on the button, and you say, okay, is this the time to ignore the norm of having a name on this and put it in the paper so that people will have a good idea of just what is facing them? I think the Times made the right decision. I'm not so sure that this person is going to be safe. Remember primary colors? It didn't take long to out that person based on the writing style and everything else. And that's why I'm thinking that is a big tempest, but I think the Times did the right thing in this case.
The Kavanaugh hearings for the Supreme Court. We're speaking of Brett Kavanaugh, of course. Day two, more protests against the judge, and it gave members of the Senate Judiciary Committee a chance to question the nominee publicly and one-on-one. There was also much talk of precedent, as we often hear in these hearings.
Well, yeah, there's a book that's basically been written. You're appointed to the Supreme Court. You say, I can't talk about that because I'm a sitting judge. That may come before me. You say it over and over and over again. Then you say, okay, that is a hypothetical question. I can't answer hypothetical questions because a good judge waits. They see what's coming before them. They read the amicus briefs. So therefore, I'm not going to answer that question. Look, this is a very dangerous situation. We have a president who is appointing somebody who may in fact be the person who decides whether or not he can be subpoenaed, whether or not a sitting president can be impeached. And we pretty well know that this president is a guy who demands, quote, loyalty. And he's going to expect loyalty out of this guy, Kavanaugh, just as he's expected loyalty out of Jeff Sessions. And we see where all of that has led inappropriately to the idea that a president of the United States' own personal loyalty. So I think Kavanaugh, if you were impartial and looking at his face and 12 hours of testimony, I think he's done well. But I think he presents a real danger to this country.
New York Times editorializing today on Albany. The headline, Albany is a mess, grab a broom. They give some points for fixing Albany that they address to the governor and legislature, including but not limited to tightening campaign finance laws, Alan, giving lawmakers a raise and banning outside income and creating a truly independent ethics body.
I guess we've never heard any of that before. Not much. Not from me. Look, the Times supports a governor when they shouldn't be. This is a time for guts. He's surrounded by corruption, and yet they make the assessment he's going to win. Maybe we should be there. They are telling him what they know he is not going to do, because he was going to do it. He came into town on a white horse and said, I'm going to fix Albany, I'm going to clean it up, and has done anything but that. Joe Prococo, all of the other guys, these are Elaine Calieros. These are people who have been convicted very close to him. And yet, we give him a free pass. His name is Cuomo. It's immensely helpful to him, especially in New York City, where people don't always follow state politics. But there are moments, David, when people like the New York Times have to have the same kind of guts they're showing in publishing this editorial. We've been talking about this unsigned editorial. They have to have the same guts not to support a governor in a situation like this who is so surrounded by corruption.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us. And again today, Alan, will be running the hearings on Judge Kavanaugh. You'll be with the panel this morning at 8 a.m. And the hearings start at 9 a.m. this morning. Just have to tune in a bit earlier.
Yes. And if you want the NPR news, which we play twice, listen to it starting early in the morning, and you'll have it, or go to npr.org, and you'll get it there. But the fact is, we've been hearing from an awful lot of people who like what they're seeing here. So, yes, we'll be there.
I'm political observer Alan Shartok. Alan, thank you, as always.
And thank you, David.